The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Let's kick it.
Yes. Yes. Let's start the day with a happy birthday wish to Christopher Lott. Happy birthday. It'll be a fun day today.
And by birthday, you mean?
It's not your birthday?
It's not my birthday.
It's my grandma's birthday.
And that's what I meant. Happy birthday to Chris's grandma. You have a 1-in-366 chance. Getting it right. Why not just wish people happy birthdays every day?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm starting the trend today.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Merry Christmas.
See? Well.
No. Oh, out of bounds?
Because it's only going to be on December 25th.
Sure.
Yeah, you're way off, Jason.
What a weirdo.
I'm closer today than I was yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Only, a lot of days till Christmas.
Yep.
Hey, I was looking at a holiday calendar yesterday because somebody told me something. Not because we're not leaving for a while anywhere. We've been gone. But Juneteenth is now a holiday, official holiday. We get it off. And that's awesome. But, like, did you notice it's on a Wednesday? And I looked in our work day, and that's when we get it off.
Really? We observe
Wednesday.
It?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and usually it would be like, okay, if it was like, you know, it's on a specific day, so that's fine. But you get those holidays observed.
Yeah, on a Monday or a Friday.
On a Monday or Friday, and I'm trying to think. Well,
that makes sense because last year it was on Monday, and the year before that it was on Sunday, which we observed on Monday.
And then the leap day kind of throws it off.
Yeah. The leap day threw it to Wednesday?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. So the Sunday, though, we observed on a Monday. And then the Monday was a Monday.
Yeah.
But now the Wednesday, I thought it was like an unspoken rule.
No, it's like 4th of July.
But usually we get another day around 4th of July or Christmas.
And I guess you can't do that for a Wednesday. Maybe they'd float the holiday there. But what the hell do you do with a day off in the middle of the week?
Enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, I guess. I was thinking, I was strategizing. That's what I like to do in my spare. I like to strategize vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, okay, so I have a question.
I mean, you're going to have Memorial Day like 3 weeks before that.
What?
Memorial Day.
What about it?
That's next
a 3-day weekend.
No, I'm not saying, I don't want a day off in the middle of the week.
Now you're being picky about your days off?
That's weird.
It is.
Hey, I'm going to work Monday. Tuesday, it's kind of Friday, but not really. Oh, hey, Thursday, it's Monday.
It'll be unique.
So here's my question. And, you know, look, a smarter person would just leave stuff like this alone. I've always said I wear my stuff on my sleeve. I mean well. I was like, well, what if I asked the boss, you know what, I'll just, like we do with other holidays, I'll work Wednesday. Can I just take it off Friday? But then I was like, is that kind of offensive to work on that day? That's my question because it's a new holiday. I don't know the rules
just
yet.
Because it's weird is for you is why you want to do that.
Well, I can get more out of a 3-day weekend than I can out of a day off in the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. So can you, anyone.
Yeah, sure.
And so I feel like, well, if it's all the same, I'd rather sandwich it on a weekend, Monday, Friday. Plus, it's, you know, June. Well, the parade will have already happened. No, actually, it won't.
Right around then.
Yeah, right around then.
Yeah.
We might need that time off.
Yeah, might be game 7.
Might be. So that was my idea, but then, like, I don't know the rules yet. We've had this day off for, what, 2 years?
Roughly 2 to 3, yeah.
I want to say 3 years.
3 years?
I know it's at least 2. Chris would be right, 3 maybe.
And what I need to know is any other holiday, no issue. You know, work Thanksgiving week, work Christmas week, you know, whatever, move the day. But this holiday is a little different. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't want to, you know, you should not work that day. That day is for X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. Obviously, it's whatever. So, I kind of need, I don't know who to ask. I need an answer on that.
That's Drew.
That's cool.
Drew. Yeah.
Drew.
Holiday.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just write a letter.
Okay.
You know who would know? No. Actually, I was going to say, when I was a kid, I used to write letters to Santa Claus, like, randomly year-round with questions.
Yeah.
I don't know what my parents did with them. But.
That doesn't sound like something you would do as a kid.
I did. Because I thought...
What were some of the things you would ask?
Hey, so, like, how do you get everything in the sack?
You know.
Hey, Santa. Big question here. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Is a chili a stew, Santa? by the way, if you're rolling around with children right now, please turn the dial for about 2 minutes, would you? Just because.
Santa, should Keon Ellis start for the Kings?
I didn't just believe in Santa growing up. Like, I was obsessed with Santa growing up. Like, I legit thought Santa showed up at the house. Like, we had to leave cookies. No, I know, which he does. So, like, the whole, like, Santa will know if you're naughty or nice. 100% believe that. I'm not a religious person. I've never been a religious person.
Sounds like you are.
I've never believed in a higher power.
You believe in Santa Claus.
What I'm saying is that's the closest I've ever come to God is Santa Claus. Like, that to me, legit, like, he had spies and stuff. Yeah. Like, he knew.
Santa was your God.
So a lot of times when I wrote a lot of my off Christmas time letters to Santa, like if I wrote a letter to Santa in March, it was usually like apologies for stuff that I did, even if I didn't get
caught. For your sins.
Right. And now looking back, I go, well, I wonder if, you know, Big Mom and Dad, you know, like the deep state, they were reading my letters, because a lot of times I narked myself off for stuff they didn't know about, like something I did at school. And I would apologize because he knew, like, hey, look, I got a lot of time to make it up. I just want you to know, you know, and of course, you know, I'm 7, so I didn't say it this eloquently, but, you know, be like, dear Santa, I'm really sorry for slapping Tom in the face at school. He made me mad, but that's no excuse. I will do better. Love, David. Like, and I will always sign it, love, you know, like, that's what you do at the end of letters to family members, which I considered Santa kind of an extended family member. So normally, if I had a question, I'm going to ask Santa Claus.
Dear Santa, what do I do with Juneteenth on Wednesday?
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, maybe, but I feel like Santa's not my go-to this time.
Sounds like Santa owes you a few letters.
You're going to laugh, but this is really innocent. I did get the occasional response.
Nice.
I did.
Return to sender.
I would get
new home. Who dis?
I would get a stamped envelope with the North Pole address. And
what is the North Pole address?
It was like, I don't know, 1000 Santa Claus Lane, North Pole.
Oh, I thought it'd be like Candy Cane,
Candy Cane Lane
Circle.
And it's Fort. Funny you mentioned candy canes, because there would always be a little piece of candy in there. It would be a candy cane. It would be one of those, I don't know what the hell they are, the little circle things that are red and white that are minty. Yeah, like the peppermints. It'd always be a
Starmits.
Is that the official name?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be like, you know, got your letter. Keep doing well.
Yeah. Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. Yeah. I see you. I'm constantly staring at you.
Do your chores. Listen to Mom and Dad.
That's not what a bowl of Jell-O is for, no matter how hot it is, Kent. Sorry, that's a real genius line for people. So, yeah, you know, Santa was kind of my guy. He was sort of my go-to. So, I don't know. I don't know that counts as an early conspiracy theory, but I definitely, like, If Santa, if there was a church of Santa Claus, I 100% would have gone.
I'm pretty sure there is one.
Yeah? Really? Like, really? Like,
I mean, there's...
Yeah, there's church of everything. Yeah. You're right. I gotta be honest with you. If you take what a... Because I had a dentist appointment yesterday. It was right by Bayside Church in Granite Bay. And, like, that place is huge. And I gotta think, a church of Santa would actually probably be a pretty dope church to go to.
Yeah.
First off, the hymns would be the best.
Yeah, they'd slay it.
That's just, honest to God, that's excellent. Well, that's really excellent. S-L-E-I-G-H, kids, that one over your head. You'd have all kinds of treats.
For sure.
There would be constant people baking things, bringing in homemade candies. Gifts everywhere.
People bring gifts. You think there's re-gifting, though? Santa got all those gifts.
They got all those gifts. What's he going to do with them? Yeah. Yes.
Young Dave's been writing me all the time.
What?
Young Dave had been writing me all the time at this church, so I'm going to...
Writing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. I know where you were going with that.
That's where I was going.
That's where you were going with that. Yeah. So... Lastly, I guess we'll wrap it up like this. Speaking of Christmas time, if you go to a white elephant gift party thing, white elephant, if you know, everyone brings a gift and then they like rotate it around or whatever.
White elephant, Yankee swap, different names for it.
I've never heard of Yankee swap. Mm-hmm. Really? Honestly, I've never heard that. Is it inappropriate? Once you survey all of the gifts, if the gift you got for the white elephant is the best one, in your opinion, is it inappropriate to try to strategize to get your own gift?
Nope.
No?
No. I did that very thing.
I did too. And I've honestly, like, I did that seriously like 20 years ago at a white elephant party.
I did this last year.
And you got your own gift?
Yep.
Well, maybe
did anybody know?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
It. Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, well, they have to know. I mean, I guess you don't know.
Yeah, because I thought you just kind of bring secret. The present in and kind of.
I think
it
I might
amongst.
Have said, "Nope, I brought that. I'm taking it home with me."
What was it? Can you share?
It was like, you know, Bailey's cream. So it's like bourbon cream,
ooh,
which is 20 times better than Bailey's. And then all the it was either that or like a Starbucks mug.
That's the thing sometimes when you overshoot every. Yeah. I guess it's better than undershooting.
Some people need to try better.
Yeah, some people need to try harder. You bring like a pack of Tostitos.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Merry Christmas.
Enjoy the crunch.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't 20 years ago because it was a DVD copy or Blu-ray copy of whatever it was of 40-Year-Old Virgin. And it was like right when it came out, like on DVD.
And that was the best one?
Really legitimately was the best
one. You know, it's always an easy one to do, too. Is lottery tickets.
Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. I never do that. I've never done it. I will never do it.
Why?
Ever.
Because if they win, you'll be mad?
That's for the rest of my life. I would be so mad because
like, I brought those.
Right, 100%. If I did the lottery ticket thing, I promise you, they'd win like the big, whatever the big prize is.
Yeah.
That's what they'd win. And then I would just be, no one would know, but I would be so quietly steaming about it. And then here's the question. If that happens, like tipping at a restaurant, not required, but like if that happens, do you give a percentage to the person that got you the lottery ticket?
Absolutely.
What is that percentage? You just want
how
just,
much?
You
how
just
much
want $10,000.
$10,000? I'll give them $1,000.
What if it's a work function and you don't know who it is? They don't know that you won. You go home, you win, and then you have to figure out. Now you're asking people who.
Here's why I would not, and it would sound like because I'm a goody two shoes. I would out of self preservation because I do believe in karma. Like, I do think that, like, that's why, like, I could.
Santa's watching.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of why. It's like cheating at cards. I could never do it, even if I get away with it, because I will get in a car crash. Something bad will really happen. Like, I'm super convinced of that. So, like, couldn't do it. That's why I couldn't take somebody's sandwich at work, any of that stuff. Doesn't matter. I think the I think the worst karma is the stuff that you don't get caught for and nobody knows about.
Yeah.
That's, and it just sits with, it's like the telltale heart, man.
How are you not Catholic?
Dude, let me tell you something, man. I got on that horse for a couple, we had, our neighbors were Catholic. And I went to, you know, you spend the night at their house Saturdays, which is always a blast. They had four kids. Like, it was amazing, all within like 5 years of each other. So we go over there, hang out, do the thing, whatever, and spend the night. But I had to go to church the next day. I did that like four times, right? This is like when I was very impressionable. And, whoo, nope, not for me. Got right off that horsey.
You're like,
nope.
I'll stay over Friday night.
But the guilt.
That's what
you.
I'm saying. And I come from a half Jewish family. And I left those experience. I was like, oh, gosh. No. I thought you were supposed to leave like uplifted. And like feeling great, go work out, have an apple. I left like, what have I been doing wrong my whole life? And I don't have any time to fix it. I'm seven. It's over.
Dear Santa.
Exactly.
Help me.
All right. We got a big Friday show for you today. We covered a lot. By the way, can I say we covered a lot in that open?
We did.
A lot.
Yeah. We almost need a day off in the middle of a week.
I agree with you. A lot of very, very tough subjects there. I think we skated right through. We'll lead this thing off here in a second. Maury Brown's going to join us. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he was on this radio station 2 days ago in the afternoons. But our interview will be different. Mm. We'll ask him better
about
questions.
Santa.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote the article about Dave Cavill being high or whatever it was when he did the interview and saying weird stuff. And I'm joking, by the way, just his answer sounded incredibly weird. So we're going to talk to Maury today. Brendan Nunes will join us at 9 a.m. Friday Fun and Games today. It's
yes.
A special edition, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it, but it's always special. That's how we'll end off the week. And we got a Kings game to look at this weekend. We got standings to update and so much more. So we'll pause. We'll take a break. We'll lead everything off right after. This word from my good friends at Hoblin, you know, and they're 5 minutes from the airport, right there in Woodland. Love Woodland. Used to go there and hang out with one of my mom's good friends and her kids. Her name was Dawn Fittiman. It's a true story. And Dawn Fittiman's husband, Russ's family owned a bunch of land in an unincorporated part of Sacramento County. And turns out I found out maybe 3 years ago that the road right near where I live, Fittiman in Antelope, Roseville, was named after their family. That was part of the land. And I guess it's a thing where, like, if you own a bunch of land and you sell it, a lot of times you get to name some of the streets. So, like, they have their daughters were Tabitha, Mina, and I forget the other one. And they have streets, you know, within these communities and stuff like that. Anyways, is that about Hoblet? Sort of. Because they lived in Woodland. I spent a lot of time in Woodland. I found a love for Woodland. And you can too, because you know what? It is not that far from where you're at right now, likely, if you're listening. It's just 5 minutes from the airport. And it's where you can save a ton of money for Ram Truck Month. $16,500 off MSRP on new 2024 Ram 2500 Laramies. One of the nicest and most capable trucks you can buy with the biggest savings of the year. This is huge. There's over 20 available. See what I did there? You probably thought that's a lot. Yeah, over 200 available. So why choose Hoblet? They do things different. That's why. They're here to help you find the vehicle you need at the best possible price. And that's why there's no deal of markup, surprise add-ons, hidden fees. It's true pricing at HobletDodge.com, your first and only stop. Unbeatable prices, unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblet, period. Leading off, next on Sackdown Sports.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
How big is tomorrow? Because even though it is a back-to-back.
Really, you know, every game at this point, you know, obviously we know the standing situation. So, you know, you got to win every game we can.
That was Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. And that's funny because he knows what the stakes are. he knows what the standings are. That's a far cry from D'Angelo Russell after the Kings game, saying, "Yeah, I didn't know what the stakes were." That's a real thing. If you haven't seen that quote,
now I know.
Yeah, now I know. As a matter of fact, here is the audio.
Knowing what was at stake, obviously their team just right above you guys in the standing, a couple of spots ahead of you guys standing. Knowing what's at stake coming into tonight, does that make this even more frustrating, or even just more frustrating?
I didn't know what was at stake.
They were two games ahead of you guys in the standings. Obviously, they already won the season series, but now they're 3 games ahead, and you guys are, I think, 3 behind for 7th now.
I mean, now I know what's at stake. What was?
Can we go back and play again? Try harder.
Think that would have made a difference?
Yeah.
Oh, D'Angelo Russell. Is that a D'Angelo Russell issue, or is that a coaching issue, or is that both? Or should they know the stakes? Like, or should it be like, you know, look, we just take it one game at a time, a lot of season left.
You know, I because the way I guess I'm wired, I can't believe they don't know on
Isn't
their
that weird?
Own.
Isn't that like, weird? I agree.
I know when it's like, hey, I'm just locked in on today, whatever. I get all those answers, but would you not know that, hey, we're in first, we're in last, we're in 10th, we're in 6th, we're in... You probably have a rough idea, don't you?
I would think so. I mean, look, we don't play.
Right.
And we don't get paid to play, and we know what the standings are.
Right.
We I mean, know. The better answer would be if he didn't know. I didn't know, but I'm just trying to win every game.
Yeah.
If I'm D'Angelo Russell, I'm probably saying something like... Either, yeah, it hurts more than just rolling with it if I didn't know the stakes. Or every game to us has a lot of stakes. You know, we're trying to win every ball. What I don't do under any circumstance is say, I didn't know the stakes.
And then now I do after you told me.
Now I know. Thank you for informing me, media member.
Yeah.
Unless he thought the media guy was asking him about stakes.
Yeah.
And maybe he was hungry, it was post-game, and he had food on his mind, and for some reason thought there were stakes involved.
Might have been a motivator.
Might have been a motivator.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a New York strip guy, a ribeye guy, or a filet guy? If you had to guess, D'Angelo Russell.
Flank.
Isn't flank this stuff they put in carne asada?
I think so.
It's used for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
I'm a New York guy. I used to be a ribeye guy.
I like filet.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can't. I mean, you can't go wrong with filet, right? I mean, I guess you could if you overcooked it.
Yeah.
Medium rare?
I'm closer to medium well. But, I mean, there's a fine line, right? Closer. I don't want it super pink. Hello.
Wait, what did you say yesterday? Oh, okay. This is 2 days in a row now. Medium well and the 80.
Yes.
That was your big revelation yesterday that we had.
I'm losing points, aren't I?
What? But medium,
you're becoming very basic.
I mean, medium well is not like, that's not sacrilege. It's just like, oh, I wouldn't go that high.
I find if I do medium, honestly, I think because chefs, like, that's cringe for them.
Yeah.
I still think they cook it less.
I think you're 100%
right. So if
I
say medium, it's closer to where, like, that's not my preference.
I really think that's a thing because I think what happens is if they cook it, you know, people say, oh, I'd like it well. And then they cook it well. And think, this is tough.
Yeah, I would say if I've ordered 100 steaks instead of, I always say medium well, I bet it's overcooked 3 times out of 100. Like, it's very rare.
You don't like it super pink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cut number two, please.
Cut number two.
At the 49er 36-yard line, first and 10.
Sorry, it's Friday. I'm going to be all over the place. Did you know, have you ever been to Mount Mike's and you know the little, how they have pepperoni cups? Like the pepperoni
separate
aren't flat.
They're okay.
I was watching food videos yesterday. I found this out. It's because they cook them on a cookie sheet separate. That's how you can get your very own pepperoni cups. And then they cook up into a cup. And then you just put it on the pizza when it's almost done. Put some cheese over it and put it back in the oven. And that's how you can make your own cups. This particular person did that. And then, of course, there's a lot of pepperoni grease after.
Oh, put it in the ranch?
Bro, you know about this. Oh, my God. I almost collapsed. He takes a squirt bottle, about half full of ranch, pours all the pepperoni grease in the squirt bottle of ranch, shakes it up into this orange whatever, and then squirts it all over the top of the pizza. It's the fattest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And you can't wait to try it.
I cannot wait to try it. That has to be good.
So the grease goes in the ranch?
The grease goes. How did you know about this?
I saw the video.
You saw this?
Yes.
Why is that good? I would put ranch on pizza. That's fine. So I guess it's the same premise.
I feel like it just becomes like a pepperoni flavored ranch, which
yeah.
Okay.
Sounds amazing. I want to eat cereal out of that. Like, again, that is the most unhealthy, disgusting thing we've probably ever heard. But I'm very excited to try it. Here's Eric Armstead.
On the 49er 36-yard line, first and 10. Now they go into a pistol with Baker Mayfield. Behind him is Rashad White. Play action, deep drop. Pressured right away by Young and sacked by Eric Armstead. But it was Chase Young that got him off the spot. Get in my belly. Armstead there along with Javon Kinlaw, but it was Chase Young that collapsed the pocket.
Ah. Well,
yeah.
End of an error. Because otherwise it would be Erica. I couldn't do it. End of an era. Eric Armstead signs with the Jaguars for $1 million less than I think the Niners were asking him to cut down to. But he did get a 3-year extension. So I think, I don't know.
Are we supposed to be happy?
Like, are we?
Yeah.
I'm not happy. I'm happy for Eric if that's what he wants to do personally. So. But gosh, you know, young family, grew up in Sacramento.
Yeah. Played here, goes to the Kings game. I mean, you know, it's just.
Played in Oregon. Yeah. Like, he's always been here. Yeah. Now you're going to Jacksonville, the biggest city in the country, geographically. Like, true. Yeah, it's the large square foot wise. That's just, I don't know. I mean, whatever, fine.
He likes big cities.
Jacksonville. Who goes to Jacksonville? Duval. Like, I don't know. We'll take a break. When we come back, Phoenix loses to Boston. We'll check out the, I know, right? And then we'll check out the, all that. We've already got a playoff clincher.
Yes.
Yeah, how about that? And I'm not talking about, like, a stressful series. I'm talking about somebody clinched a spot in the playoffs. And we'll look at the rest of the NBA scoreboard. Coming up next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
All right, welcome back. It's a Friday. We are excited. I like this rejoiner. This is good.
Me too.
Soundgarden is always, always going to pump you up on a Friday.
Some of the best work.
4 days ago, before we get to the Suns, I thought you guys might find this interesting. Rudy Gobert was fined $100,000 after he implied that Scott Foster was not calling games fairly and further suggesting that gambling is having a detrimental impact on the outcome of the games. Quote, I'll bite the bullet again. I'll be the bad guy. I'll take the fine, but I think it's hurting our game. Talking about gambling. I know the betting and all that's becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way. He was called for a tech in the closing seconds of regulation. This is last Friday. It was last Friday. And he rubbed his fingers together several times, the money sign.
Yeah.
He directed it towards Foster. So the NBA said it found that he directed a, quote, inappropriate and unprofessional gesture towards a game official and publicly criticized the officiating. Joe Dumars said it takes into account his past instances of conduct detrimental with regard to publicly criticizing the officiating. It's the fourth time he's been fined for public criticism of officials. He's making $41 million this season. So what is that? Am I doing this right? If you made $41,000, that's $100, I think. Or is it 10?
Might be 10.
Ugh, right? Is it really?
Is that right?
Math is stupid.
I don't know.
I don't even know. I thought this was interesting, though, because the TNT guys talked about this, Shaq, Kenny, all of them. And see if you can't pick up the stray Shaq gets here.
I got a question for Shaq and Kenny.
Okay.
The Rudy Gobert thing.
What about it?
What did you think about it?
What did he do?
He did that money thing and got fined.
Oh, you got to fine him.
Why?
Because you're basically insinuating that refs are getting paid.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad, Shaq. I didn't mean to bring up a whole.
Catch that? Mm-hmm. That's a 2002 yeah. slate right there on Shaq.
You not agree with
no,
that?
No, but you're insinuating the refs are getting paid at the game.
I thought he should have got suspended.
Yeah, okay. Oh, stop. Okay. Hey, stop it. You're going too far now.
No.
Going too far. Stop it.
Shaq, let me tell you something. The one thing we can never do in sports, ever, is make people think
that the game is not
fixed. It's not fixed. If we ever get to the point, any sport, if they found out, it would ruin a sport. It would ruin a sport if people thought it was fixed. And they found Luka Doncic. They had found Rudy Gobert before. I thought they should have suspended him.
I don't know about suspension, but I do agree that there should be a fine because the integrity of the game.
He got fined.
I know. I agree. No, that's what he said. Right. Agree. The integrity of the game is the most solid thing that you can have. And so when you put that in question by an actual player, then
hey, look at it.
Like, and he's pointing to the fans like, oh, he's getting paid to be out here.
It's an interesting thing. Because we talk about the prevalence of gambling and what's going to happen. Or if anything's going to happen. I do think I personally think there will be a massive scandal at some point. There's just too much money involved. But gambling's been around for a long time. Just not as prevalent, not as easy, not as open, not as accessible. And it's only going to get better or worse, depending on how you look at it, with the advent of everything at your fingertips. As we talked about, like the let's just take the Apple Vision Pro and that type of thing. You know, my kid has the Meta Quest, the VR thing you put in. And I was screwing around with it the other day, and I can put on all these basketball games at once on as big a screen as I want. It's pretty dope. And then you turn to your left, and all of a sudden you have stats for the game you're looking at. Now, they're already developing this, and I think in some cases it exists. I could be wrong, but where you're literally going to be able to be like, you know, bet here, bet there. Okay, I'm going to bet this. Who gets the, you're going to have these instant bets you can do. It's just going to be all, it's connected to your card and whatever. Right. Anyways, And the thing with Scott Foster to me is always interesting because there are like legit connections between Scott Foster, who is considered by the NBA to be the top, if not one of the two top referees of all time. And we've talked about this before. Tim Donaghy's the one that was corrupt. Tim Donaghy's the one that admitted it, blah, blah, blah. Foster is the one that received 134 phone calls from Donaghy between October of 06 in April of 07, so what, 4 or 5 months there, and that's the same period in which Donaghy admitted to betting on NBA games. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that Scott Foster's dirty. I would really like to know if there's ever been a full investigation. To your knowledge, has anyone ever asked, has Adam Silver or David Stern ever addressed whether or not Scott Foster was investigated?
Not to my knowledge, but I gotta believe he was.
I would think so, too. And golly, that's something, if that happened, I would want to share that. If there was an investigation, I would want that to be public.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have guys like Rudy Gobert saying stuff, getting fined $100,000 and all that. I just, keep an eye on stories like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's gonna be a thing on and off here, there, and everywhere. In the meantime, we're assuming this game wasn't fixed. Celtics Suns. Mm-hmm. Celtics are very, very good. 127-112. Your finals. The first time I believe the Suns have lost when Booker, Durant, and Beal all scored 20 or more. I think I saw that stat earlier.
How about that?
Yeah, Celtics clinch a playoff spot.
First one in.
First one's
in. Not a surprise, but still, that's pretty amazing with this much time left.
With the best record in the NBA at 52-14, they have a 9.5 game lead over the Milwaukee Bucks, who are the second seed in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics are the presumptive favorite to win the NBA Finals. And when you look at the Thunder and Nuggets, tied at 46-20, I believe that's a 6-game deficit to the Celtics for best record in the NBA. What does that do to the Suns? That drops them into the play-in. They're a half game behind the Sacramento Kings at 38-28. The Kings, of course, 11 games over 500 finally. They are 7.5 back from the top two, 1 back of the Pelicans. And just to check in on that, Jason, the Kings, as we know, have 1 game this weekend against the New York Knicks. The Pelicans this weekend, they are home versus the Clippers Friday, and then the second night of a back-to-back, but at home versus Portland on Saturday. We'll get to Phoenix a little bit later in 3 for Madness and what they're doing, but could be some maneuverations.
Well, and if look, we got several weeks to go, but if this was the final bottom four, 7, 8, 9, 10, man, I mean, star power, veterans, some young players too, but like Kyrie, Luka, Steph, LeBron, AD, KD, Booker, that whole group, they're half of those guys would be out, right?
And 2008, Scott Foster was investigated by both the league and the FBI and cleared of everything.
Okay, thank you. Good. That's good to know. I should have known that. You know what I'm saying? I would do Kia advertisements co-branded with. Oh, and by the way,
I think they want to be done with all that
stuff.
Yeah,
you think they want to put it behind them? Thank you, Chris, for that. You're absolutely right. As it stands right now, I mean, just to go over it again, just like you did, you got all the star power from the Warriors.
Yeah.
All the star power from the Lakers, Kyrie and Luka, and then Beal, Durant, Booker. Yeah. That's your play-in.
Right. All playing each other with 2 of them going home.
Does that say something a little bit bigger, by the way, when we talk about, building these? I wouldn't say any of those teams are a super team.
Well, that was probably the thought when Phoenix did it.
I was, when Phoenix got Beal. Yeah. They got Durant to go with Booker.
I mean, a year ago, we've seen it played, but like Luka and Kyrie's, that's pretty significant star power. LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
And then the Warriors dynasty, what they had built.
And when you look at the top 6 in the Western Conference, Kings are pretty, they got Sabonis, but I don't think anybody's calling. They don't even have an all-star.
Right.
The Pelicans are pretty much homegrown. Yeah. They got Ingram and the Anthony Davis deal. They're pretty much homegrown. The Timberwolves, they add Gobert, but again, pretty much homegrown. The Nuggets are definitely homegrown, with the exception of Gordon. The Thunder are the most homegrown team in the NBA. Really, the Clippers, I think, would be the only team that you would maybe say, okay, these guys were put together, but I think that kind of says something. And maybe that's something that again, when we try to tie everything back to the Kings, I've said it for over a year now. I do think Monty is building this team in the shadow of the Denver Nuggets, and maybe that goes to a lot of his thought process, which is we're not just going to add, and continuity is a thing. And maybe that also bleeds down into Mike Brown's thing about rotations. It's consistency is the most underrated asset in the NBA, and you see that a lot with these other teams.
Yeah.
Even though, Boston tweaked a little bit with Holiday and all that.
But that's what the Kings will ultimately do.
I think that's exactly what the Kings will ultimately do. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, football real quick. Before we get to Maury Brown, Forbes, coming up at 7 a.m. Eric Armstead on the move. We think we might have a key as to why he did choose that particular team. And there's some other moves, a lot of moves around the league. We'll highlight the biggest ones. And we'll do all that right after this.
You up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting,
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports. We'll be right back.
fade that, please. DNA, Kendrick Lamar. Thank you. God, that was going to bother me. Instrumental version, of course. Welcome back. Hi, Michael Dave, Jason Ross.
That was absolutely insane.
Yeah, it was. Eric Armstead has signed a 3-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why do some people say Jaguars? Like on the
Jaguars.
That drives me crazy. Yeah. It is not Jaguars. It's either Jaguar, which is what I think it is.
Do you like luxury?
Yeah, but then when you see the car commercial, the Jaguar. English are like Jaguar.
You also, Jaguar.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else they do that's stupid? They don't say Z, they say Z.
They do.
They do. It's
one funny. Of our favorite games, A to Z, I stole from a show over there called A to Z.
A to Z. What's that?
Yeah.
Is it a zebra? Stupids. Anyways, Eric Armstead is gone. That is official. He signs a 3-year deal. $51 million. I don't see how much of it is guaranteed. I assume probably all of it. 5-year, $85 million contract is what he signed in 2020 free agency. So, look, the headline I saw at a lot of places was, well, he's actually taking the same or less than, you know, by $1 million than what the Niners offered him. But you're also getting, I think, what, 2 more years out of that at about what he – so all overall, gross, he's getting more money. Not, you know what I mean, gross. Yeah.
I guess.
That type of thing, not disgusting, gross. You know, this is his last, probably his last big contract, and he's trying to set his family up. It sucks in the sense, as a Niner fan, I love him. I would love to see him play. This is going to be weird.
Oh, for sure.
To really see him weird. In a
different, yeah,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, and the sad part is we really won't see him that much.
That's true. Yeah. No, we won't at all. 116 regular season games, 33.5 sacks, 12 postseason games, 8 sacks. He was not only the Niners' longest tenured player, but a philanthropic staple, both down in the Bay and here in Sac for 4 years. The last 4 years in a row, he's been the Niners' nominee for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. I imagine that'll probably carry over to Philadelphia. Look, as a non-emotional, pure business 49er fan view, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I thought he was great in the Super Bowl. I thought he had a pretty darn good year. But the issue is he gets hurt a little bit. And, you know, it's better to get out too early from a franchise point of view than get out too late. And they can't screw around with the cap. So I get it. It just, it sucks.
Yeah, it felt like it was the guy, a guy they would want, but kind of under the right parameters, and I, you know, respect him for looking around and seeing what else is out there, but they're gonna miss him though too.
Oh, they're very, very much gonna miss him. And not just, you know, the thing with him is not just the stats, obviously. More important than the stats, not more important, but almost as important as the stats. He was just the consummate leader.
Yeah.
The locker room, on the field, off the field, everybody looked up to Eric.
Yeah.
He was not the Mr. You know, fiery rah rah let's go dude. He was one of those E.F. Hutton types. When he talks, people listen. So he will be missed. And reached out to him a couple of days ago. I haven't heard back. Full disclosure, but he'll get back.
Yeah.
We'll try to get him on the show sometime this offseason to say his goodbyes for now, but, you know, also establish, obviously, he's still going to carry a big presence, literally and physically, in the city of Sacramento. Keenan Allen is moving on.
Surprise.
Yeah, I thought so, too. The Chicago Bears acquire the longtime Charger. I actually didn't even realize this, although I should have. 11 seasons?
Wow.
With the Chargers?
And all very productive. He's been a stud.
He really has. The only thing that's ever really slowed him down has been injury. Yeah, he was a 1,000-yard receiver his rookie year playing in 15 games, 16 games, 3 years in a row, 17 through 19. He was over 1,000 yards significantly, 1,200, 1,300 each year there. And then he was a 1,200-yard receiver last year, playing in just 13 games for the Chargers with seven touchdowns. That's going to give somebody a very good target in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that going to be Justin Fields? Is that going to be Caleb Williams? We don't know the answer to that, but they're up to something in Chicago. And obviously, this wasn't just a random pickup. I mean, they went out and they grabbed Keenan Allen, who immediately, sorry, DJ Moore, but he becomes the number one receiver out there.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about Fields over the last couple of days with all these quarterbacks moving. Maybe it feels like there's less availability for a trade, but maybe Washington with their move yesterday, moving on from Sam Howell, kind of creates maybe a Commanders as a team for Justin Fields.
You're absolutely right. They make some moves, and then there's a handful of quarterbacks that people are excited about. None more than Caleb Williams. And you're right, Sam Howell, the starter from last year, really quietly. He had a weird year, man. The dude passed for 4,000 yards, which is pretty good, and 21 touchdowns, and had 21 interceptions, which is incredibly not good. In just his second year in the league out of North Carolina, had one game in 2022. He moves over to Seattle, and I just got to think there, they had the opportunity, Seattle did, to grab Sam Howell. Washington wanted to, obviously, as you mentioned, make some room. And now you've got not only Geno Smith insurance, but perhaps a Geno Smith heir apparent.
That's true.
And it's not like Geno Smith is, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Right.
Geno's he's a good story.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's elite.
He's kind of saved his career there, which has been nice for him.
And finally, as we go to break, one other move that I want people to pay attention to, because I saw this one. Hollywood Brown is a Kansas City Chief. I like Hollywood Brown. Yeah. I've always liked him. Again, much like Keenan Allen, injury is his enemy. If he's playing, this dude's electric. And it seems like Hollywood Brown has been in the league forever because he does go back with both the Cardinals, and he started catching passes with the Ravens. He's 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's got at least 3 years, if not 4 years left of prime football. If he can stay healthy, that's your instant number one receiver. Well, Rashee Rice really showed some great signs, but that's a nice combo there.
But you pair anybody with Patrick Mahomes, and they're going to be elevated,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. You line up Brown and Rice on either side and have some fun there. That's
Brown Rice.
Brown Rice. We'll take a break when we come back. Hey, hour number one in the books. And we're going to talk to Maury Brown from Forbes. Maury was on this station a few days ago. We mentioned this last week when his article came out. This is the guy that wrote the story for Forbes about Dave Cavill and really just kind of, I wouldn't say called him out, but just called out the silliness of the world Dave Cavill seems to be living in right now, the president of the Oakland Athletics. We'll talk to him, the potential Las Vegas move, what that should mean, and just how the A's have been flubbing this whole thing. For Maury Brown, we'll do all that next on Sacktown Sports.